Welcome back, one and all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to listen to some MAGAs lose their mind, or rather watch them lose their mind, you're going to want to watch this show on YouTube because the comments are fascinating. It's interesting, and I'll get into this a little bit with my special next guest. It's so strange. When I get into debates, whether it's with callers or folks on our text line or folks on our social media accounts, I rarely get much engagement on the substance of what I'm saying. It's mostly, you know, ad hominem attacks about my looks and all sorts of variety of other nonsensically totally irrelevant matters. But enough said about that. You can check out the haterade that's getting directed my way by watching the show on Civic Media's YouTube channel. With that, very privileged, very happy, as always, to be joined by my good friend and yours, Angela Lang, the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Welcome back, Angela.
Thanks so much for having me. I feel like it's been a while. We've been both so busy.
Yes, it has been a hot second, but we did get to share a stage together and share some time together at the No Kings protest a couple of weekends ago. I can't believe it's been that long. Yeah. But I just wanted to ask you, in your newsletter, you talked about the fact that you decided to get and show up at and get fully engaged with this second No Kings protest. And I wanted you to share a little bit about your thinking and how you came to that decision and just overall what your experience was at this second No Kings protest alongside 7 million fellow patriotic, America-loving, but clear-eyed fellow citizens and residents of this fine country.
Yeah, so I feel like this is a little bit like vulnerable, but I'm just going to be honest in that this was my first No Kings Day. I'm an activist. I'm an organizer. I do this. It's not like I didn't know about the first one. But part of me was like, ooh, I'm getting similar vibes as like other mass protests that I don't know if they're fully aligned with my values. And so I saw and I talked to a lot of folks that had went there. And some folks were like, yeah, they were thinking the police, or people were complaining that there wasn't like bouncy houses, or people were walking through with glasses of wine. And it was these things that I kind of clocked internally before that I was like, this is why I'm not going. I was like, this feels like it might not fully be my space. And I'm going to be honest, after November, a lot of Black women specifically said, we were like, no, we're on sabbatical. This, y'all created this problem. Y'all figure it out. And I have a job to do, right? But like part of me resonated with that. And so I sat the first one out. And the second one, there were a lot of lefty progressive type of folks that were like, hey, we would like to have you speak. We're going to, you know, share this thing, the stage, and we're going to share time. And it was through relationships that I had that I was like, oh, okay, I feel like this is comfortable. This is a big enough tent where I could say what I feel and not feel ostracized or whatever. I've been to Women's March events in Milwaukee specifically where I called out, you know, some transphobes, and like I got just right. I had the finger wave and all of that. So sometimes I recognize that not my analysis may not be everyone else's analysis, but that if there's an opportunity and an open mind, that's where I feel like I can engage. And it was great. I saw so many people. I gave out so many hugs. Yes. I took pictures with like the goth baddies, you know, for democracy and unicorns. And it was really good. And it was a bright spot for me. And I'm really glad that I came.
I'm so glad to hear that. I too, you know, when I think about my involvement in either, you know, getting signatures for a candidate, for example, or my involvement in marches, I have never been to a march or stumped for a candidate where I'm like, yep, that's exactly what I think about everything, right? There's no perfect candidate. There's no perfect political party. Right. And I think my hope is that amongst folks that are deeply concerned about what we're seeing, that it's okay that we have other disagreements, right? But that the tent right now needs to be open and big to folks that are clear-eyed about what we're seeing from this administration, and that there is far more agreement about the things that are wrong here. And we're going to continue to have all kinds of debates internal within the, quote, Democratic Party, within what I'm going to call incrementalist moderate Dems and more progressive Dems. But that the point is, right now, there is existential threat, and it's happening every day. In that same breath, and I have been pretty active online and on my own social media accounts, especially on LinkedIn, in defending the right, especially of Black women, to take, as you put it, a sabbatical. This has been so targeted, I think, especially at Black women, and the results, the economic results of this hate has been felt the greatest, as with every time there is regression in this country, as well as economic contraction, borne the hardest by far most acutely by Black women. So I was extremely thrilled and super humbled to, I think you and I spoke almost like back to back.
Yeah. Yep. I spoke right after you, which like, you know, yeah. I don't like that, but okay.
Oh. Well, at least they have your entire remarks on YouTube. I mine got somewhat cut off there. So just means there's suspense for the next time.
There we go. You got to check out both of our speeches next time, assuming we're both invited and asked to speak again.
Who knows?
Anyone that's listening.
Who knows?
That could be a draw. I don't know.
It is getting together.
And also, shout out to Earl Ingram, who was like the MC, who was also a part of the Civic Media family. And
yes,
it was really great to see him. And I was like, okay, Earl, Maggie, me. And I was like, okay,
we can do this
Civic Media representation, honestly. Yeah.
Big, big love for Earl. He is in a sweet spot as an MC. There's no doubt. And anytime Earl's name comes up, I always have to tell people the only reason I am on the airwaves at all is because of Mr. Earl Ingram. Mm. So I will have a lifetime long hat tip to Earl and a big thanks. It was, I think, again, a very big tent type of event.
Yeah.
Lots of different viewpoints represented there. But again, an incredibly peaceful event focused on what we are facing as a country, not as Democrats or Republicans, but what we're facing as a country and as a democracy, small d. So I just wanted to say, I always am impressed with your candor, Angela, in talking about these things in your newsletter and how you share and invite people into these discussions. If you have a question or a comment for Angela or I, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We got Jack from Merrimack. Jack, say hello to Angela. What you got for us this afternoon?
Hello to Angela. You pointed out one thing that it's really hard to negotiate with somebody that's out of the country. Well, it's really hard to reopen the government if one of the houses of Congress is not in session and our lovely representative, and this doesn't get enough press, our lovely representatives have been on vacation, in recess for, 5 weeks now? I think something like that.
It's longer than that. Of the past, 90-plus days, the House has been out of session for more than 80 days. I want that to, sink in. And, in fact, Cal, if you can try to grab the sound. This is, I don't have the cut number, Cal. It was the last Johnson whiny sound that I added late. If you've got it, give me a thumbs up and let's roll that sound. But here is Mike Johnson complaining about we're doing work. Well, then bring the House back into session and do the work and sit down at a negotiating table with Democrats and let's bang out a deal here. Take a listen to Mike Johnson, whiny little boy.
In the meantime, Republicans, I don't know what the Democrats are doing other than publicity stunts, but I can tell you the House Republicans are doing some of the most meaningful work of their careers. They are in their districts working around the clock with their constituents, helping them not only to negotiate the crisis that's been created by this Democrat shutdown, but all the other matters that they need to attend to. And I'm hearing from them individually. They are having some of the most meaningful interactions at a time of great crisis with their constituents that they've ever had.
No, they're
that's
not.
Really, really important.
You,
so I don't
Mike,
wanna...
are you talking about these same people that ditch these that town part. Halls?
They run out the back door because the questions get a little too hard.
Right. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego or Derek Van Orten or Brian Style? And if you're not of that ilk, where's Waldo when we talk about DVO and Weed yeah. and Van Orten and all of these guys? Tom Tiffany. Tom Tiffany's off on the campaign trail. This is the biggest gift you could give him. But even Marjorie Taylor Greene, an ex post yesterday or today. Hey, I have no respect for the House not being in session, passing our bills and the president's executive orders. I demanded to know from Speaker Johnson what the Republican plan for health care is to build the off-ramp for Obamacare and the ACA tax credit. If MTG wants to know, and she's calling this out as garbage, what is the issue?
Every day I feel like I'm living in the upside down when I see Marjorie Taylor Greene tweet, and I'm like, wait, does she have a point? I'm
my goodness. My goodness. Cal, if you can cue up that sound that we just got dropped from Trump today, that would be great. In the meantime, let's take a listen. We got Charles from Milwaukee. Charles, love you, man. Say hello to Angela. What you got for us?
Hello, Maggie and Angela. So, Angela, I had the same thought process for the first No King. I've been voting since I was able to when I turned 18. I made sure that my kids, not only my son here in Milwaukee, but my daughters in Georgia, my niece and my nephew in Georgia, got out and voted. Every single time I'm on my kids, make sure you vote. But this time, it's different. And I was at the No Kings rally in Milwaukee because they're coming after people that look like you and I. And I have kids and I have three granddaughters. And I don't need any man, especially not a white man, sorry, Maggie, trying to tell my granddaughters what to wear, who they can be with, or anything else, what job they can have. So I was there. I live in Oconomowoc, actually, now. So I wasn't going to do that one. I didn't want to be the only person of color there. But I made sure my wife and I came down to Milwaukee, because like I said, I have things that I have to fight for, and this administration is trying to take us back, and they're trying to take us way back to a time that wasn't good for people of color before. And so I think everybody, it's like all hands on deck right now. I'm in that saying, if you don't mess with politics, politics will mess with you. And we see that in a couple of days, if they don't come up with a deal, there are going to be a lot of people that will lose their SNAP benefits. And tons of MAGA supporters that don't understand that, you're getting government assistance too. I think it's 37% of white people receive food stamps.
Yes. Charles, thank you always.
Thank you for that.
You never have to apologize to me for pointing out systemic.
I was like, Charles, you've called in before. I'm here for this.
Right,
yes.
Systemic or individualized racism in this country. I know I'm white. Charles, you're always welcome. Folks, stay right here. I'm going to continue with Angela Lang, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. On the other side, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.